This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who won in Langkawi, went on a Facebook Live. It was a press conference in which he addressed the question of why results are not being released officially for many states. We already had some news flow around that. When we tuned in, and he was saying there was a reluctance on the part of the Elections Commission to release those results, but he's trying to address that. He was asked by a member of the press whether he intended anticipated violence. He said no, he didn't expect violence, but he wants the incumbents, as it were, to come to their senses. I'm quoting him. They come to their senses, and he said he would also try to get in touch with the Yang de Pertuan Agong as well as the head of the armed forces. Bridget, you heard that speech too. What did you make of the tone that Tun had, and why was it necessary at this point to actually address the question of the results, delay in releasing the results, and also the question of transition?
I mean, at this, political science teaches us, events teach us that at these moments of time where there is high levels of uncertainty, mm-hmm. that it is important to have statesmanlike leadership. And Mahathir's speech, basically, it was calling on the BN government to act responsibly, to listen to what the people have spoken at the ballot box. It appears that the numbers that are, of course, unofficial at this point, that the numbers are there for Pakatan Harapan to form government. There are still a few unknowns behind the system. Obviously, there are discussions about potential negotiations with kingmakers, with Warisan, with Ismailit, with Sarawak, particularly PBB in Sarawak, and also, of course, with PAS. The numbers for Pakatan look to be around 126, which is a majority, but not an extensive majority in the sense that it is about 15 seats. So these kingmaker issues come into play. So there's one's issues of being able to form the government and to do so in a secure fashion. Mm-hmm. And then the next question is whether or not Najib Tun Razak will give up power.
Yeah, now on that question, of course, if we look back in history, in recent history, during the 2008 general election, quite unexpected results then. The Prime Minister was Abdullah Ahmad Badawi. He is credited for ensuring the smooth transition of power in those states won by the Pakatan Raya.
Is that the statesmanlike behavior that you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And he's often credited for being such a voice. He, of course, coming into this general election, kind of gently cautioned Malaysians about their enthusiasm for change, saying change could lead to good things, but it could also lead to bad things. So he seemed a bit more ambivalent about siding one side or the other, but all the same, I think he is. And you know, Bridget, you've got a book on the legacy of the Badawi years. Not a deep history. I mean, Mahathir has 22 years. I mean, Badawi much fewer years, but he did leave a legacy in terms of statesmanship, didn't he?
Absolutely, and I think he showed that you can still give up and accept responsibility for an electoral defeat and still play an important role in moving Malaysia forward. And I think right now the test is here for Najib, whether or not he will do the right thing for the country. And I think this is the country. He needs to recognize that that this is something that is going to choose the path of whether or not there's future democracy in this country and whether or not there's going to be respect for how people have spoken.
Well, what about the key institutions? We, mentioned was His Royal Highness, the Agong. Also, the question of the role of the military and the police in safeguarding the constitution. What do you understand could be their role in this particular period of transition?
Well, obviously, the king will have to choose who he will call to form government. Mm-hmm. There has been history of these things at the state level that have raised questions about the past. I think the royalty will have to play a very important role in the statesmanship leadership. there is this sense of whether or not a potential security situation has been called. This is, I think, will require the support of the military. And I think those two institutions are going to be critical as bridging Malaysia through this transition.
What I'm guessing here as well, Bridget, is the fact that this isn't an overnight process, right? It's probably going to take some time. And in the meantime, you know, life has to go on, business has to carry on as usual. You know, you see in, say, developed democracies like the US, if there's a government shutdown, business still continues, life continues as usual. What are you kind of looking for in terms of the time period? Are you thinking that this could be resolved in a short period of time?
I think that it's going to be something that is going to take some time. I think there are many different dimensions of this transition. I think one is the immediate ability to form government. And here, negotiations behind the scenes with kingmakers are going to set the course. And the second aspect of this is changes to leadership within political parties. Mm-hmm. I think Najib Tun Razak has not only lost this election, but he's also lost the leadership of UMNO. And so that is going, from the perspective of the scope of this defeat. And so it's going to be important to see who steps up to the plate within UMNO to become the person moving forward, or whether or not Najib holds on.
But we have an even more fundamental problem. The defeat is not official.
Right.
And now who can, get the relevant institutions to sign off on the results? Now, can it be the head of the state? Could it be the Yang Dipertuan Agong who can ensure that the Election Commission plays its role with professionalism and integrity? Would it be the security forces that ensure that the Election Commission plays that role? Because what the bottleneck, it seems to be, at least from the reports that we're getting, the bottleneck seems to be the Election Commission. Now, if we don't solve that problem, how do we even get to government formation? Because we don't have results.
I don't think the Election Commission is the bottleneck. I think they're getting orders from above. And so I think the bottleneck is within the BN itself about what trajectory and direction that they're going to take, mm-hmm. whether or not they're going to choose the high road or whether or not they're going to be obstructionists to a transition in the system here. And I think a lot of this is going to depend on the leaders within the system to be statesmanlike as well and to urge Najib and others to be responsible to the people and how they've spoken, and to assure people that this is the only thing that is going to assure that the markets will be strong, and that and that there is going to be a sense of security. I mean, people are nervous in this period of uncertainty, and it's understandable. You know, that with police telling people to stay home and not to celebrate victories and others, and reports being circulated, there is fear, and that's understandable in the circumstances. So this is where, it is a test of leadership, not just Najib himself, but others. I think that Mahathir speaking out is an indication of the fact that the opposition, which is now potentially the leader in government, is actually taking responsibility in a statesmanlike fashion to put pressure for shifts and change.
Well, this is a man who, and I'm speaking of Tun Dr. Mahathir, who is not new to politics. He's not coming as a new...
unknown, right?
Yeah, yes. He was a man who probably presided over the rise of the careers of many of the individuals in these institutions. I guess maybe some people have presumed, and I don't know if this is correct, that he, maybe more than anybody else on the Pakatan side of the political divide, would be able to speak to those in those institutions or head those institutions and prevail upon them to act in a particular fashion, or at least act in the interest of the public good. Do you think Mahathir has that kind of special power?
Yeah, will it be enough? You know, I mean, just having him say something, would that be enough to compel people to? Would that be enough of a statesman-like behavior, as you were talking about, Bridget?
Well, you're going to need, before action, you're going to need not just words, you're going to need actions. Mm. I think Mahathir has the challenge with the royalty. I mean, the relationship has been soured at different places. My understanding is the king may not be in Malaysia right now, and that there is an acting king, and that seems to be the Sultan of Perak, Raja Nazarin. This again needs to be confirmed because these things are unknown. And I think the royal houses will have to work with him and of course, Najib has the advantage of having close relationships with many of the royal houses. So this is still somewhat unknown.
Yeah, but because, beyond the personal relationships, there is the question of the constitution. I mean, the constitution does not change because of, either a bond of friendship or enmity between two individuals because they have a difficult history, right? The constitution is the ultimate guide for all stakeholders to play their role. I mean, and wouldn't that be true to say, I mean, the Constitution ought to be the guide?
Yes, one would hope that it would be the guide in this context. But we've seen in the past in Malaysia that always has not been the case.
It's also about the enforcement of or upholding the Constitution, isn't it?
And one of the issues in this election was that the sense that the rule of law was not being properly enforced on issues of scandals and others. So I think, there is this sense that the importance of the rule of law and procedures to be practiced and respected at this juncture.
All right, well, it's 12 minutes to midnight, and you should be staying with us throughout the evening as we bring you the latest news, more news and analysis as the results trickle in. But here we have one of my favorite songs ever, Buffalo Springfield with For What It's Worth, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.